Can I sing?
No.
Can everybody
see you
say,
the internet through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for broadcasting us. And I welcome those people who joined in over the internet. If you are here already, we still have like 5 to 6 minutes to go before the hour. And
let's have a party.
Let's be patient till then. Yes, let's have a party. I know it's going to be tonight. Tonight's call will be about Win His Music. You know, he did some recordings with Billy Dean and the Rebels. And I believe that's the topic tonight.
Interesting.
Yep.
But nobody beat Win. Win has the best voice, the best song in the whole world. Nobody beat.
Bring back the old music.
Mm-hmm. Pretty here.
We need to make a some CD and stuff so we can buy it.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening, Heist. This is Marilyn in Pittsburgh.
Okay. Hello, Marilyn.
Hello,
good evening
Marilyn.
To you. How are you?
Meow. Meow.
My kitty heard that.
Oh, good.
Say hello, Pia.
Oh.
Oh.
Hi, Morgan.
Have all the lines open so we have some background noise.
I hope they're cooking something good.
People join in at the conference phone line. Thank you. I appreciate your name and location.
This is Ralph calling from Westport, California.
Good evening and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry, what's your name?
Ralph, R-A-L-F.
All right, Ralph, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. But only if you want to.
This is Anthony in Florida.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
you're
you,
welcome.
Anthony.
All right.
We're both in Florida. Nice to have you.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Heiss. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don. Good
Hi.
Evening
Hi.
To you.
Thanks. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Don. Getting your
I believe we had another line come in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Steve, West Palm Beach.
Hello. Welcome to the call, Steve.
Thank you.
Three people from Florida. Yay.
Is there any more Canadians?
Lucy from Canada.
Good evening. We had somebody else join in. A rock with that person. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hello, it's Jackie in Greensburg, PA.
Hello.
Hi, Jackie. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Hi.
Hi. But I'm in a sunshine state now.
You are. Welcome to the next person. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
You are from Wisconsin.
Who is this from Wisconsin?
Eli.
Eli, good evening. Welcome to the call.
What's your temperature,
welcome.
Eli?
Good evening,
welcome.
Eli.
Oh, very cold.
I'm near Cleveland, we got minus 0.8 right now. I'm sure you're colder than that.
Oh, it's better than minus 30.
Yeah, somebody minus 30.
Welcome to those people who just came in. Thank you for being here. Appreciate your name and location.
Hi,
this is
Roger in Austin.
I hear Terry and Roger. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Terry. Hi, Roger.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Is it Don?
Yep.
Hi, Terry.
Good voice
Hi,
recognition.
Terry.
Good voice recognition skills, Terry.
You just had an anonymous line come in. Don't want to know your name.
Hello, I don't want to... What's my name? I don't know.
Only if you want to.
Only if I want to.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Good evening, Wynn.
Who's that?
And here we have somebody else joining us here, a woman's voice. Good evening. Please say your name and location. But only if you want to.
Hi,
we welcome you all. All right. We have, it's 6:01 and we are being broadcasted through BBS over the internet. I welcome all those who joined us here over the internet. We do have Wynn and Terry with us. And I would say let's start rocking, Wynn.
Hey, stop ordering me around.
Only if you want to.
This is free will in action.
Free will. Workplace wants to be your manager, Wynn.
Who wants to be my manager?
Heiss does.
Heiss? He is my manager.
Nobody manages Wynn.
Only if I want to.
Management by committee.
Yes.
Hello. We have quite a response.
They're having too much fun.
Hey, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Yep.
When I told them you had the best song and the best voice.
Okay, you're my manager, Lucy. which song are you talking about? Where am I, Smile?
Maybe, I guess you muted the lines, Wynn.
Oh, yeah, I muted
Didn't
the
you?
Lines. Oh, yeah, I did. Sorry. Okay, we who muted. Terry, you're there?
I'm here.
Okay.
This conference is being recorded.
Hey, this is March 3rd, 2014. Wynn and Terry in North Hollywood. And this is our Monday night call. And the name of the call is Everybody Loves You When Everybody Loves You. And, you know... I'm kind of excited because we've been going into the studio and recording songs here in Los Angeles with Billy Beane. If anyone's been sending me emails, they're probably not getting responses because I am really up to my energy ears. Up to my energy ears. That's a new one. Not energy eyes, but energy ears. with this project. And, you know, let's see here. I am recording. You know, for many years of my life, I was identifying with being a songwriter and a poet. And since I wrote The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and since we started doing conference calls and bringing in the Elohim, it's like I put all of that on somewhat of a back burner because I didn't want to compete with that part of the project. And it's like I probably, if I go back and review myself, I can see that I was a really good wanderer because I wanted to write music that would uplift the masses, that would make people smile, that I had discovered when I was younger this alternative reality. That's how I called it. And I didn't really understand it, but I was living inside of it for a good portion of the time. And I learned a huge, huge amount. And I'm sure I couldn't be doing the work we're doing now if I hadn't gone through that period. And what I learned was, it wasn't really about music or writing poetry. It was about being in this realm, but not being here at the same time, like operating at a different dimension. And I was a little bit trapped because I could only do it when I was traveling. I couldn't do it staying in one place. And so I got really addicted to traveling. And I spent probably 6 or 7 or 8 years on the road. And it started out when I was in Berkeley. And I lost interest in school. It just became boring. Being a physics major became boring. And I started a rock and roll band. And I had my friend Jillian, who I keep trying to get her to come on our shows as a guest, probably was the biggest influence in my life at the time. Because I was a nerd. I was a scientist. I was a physics major. And I guess I was operating under some Atlantean incarnations, the shadow of those, where science was so important. And I didn't know how to ever touch people. I was just in my head. And I thought I was really smart, but it was boring. And so when I started writing lyrics, I had this deep perception of the way things were. But I didn't know I had a deep perception. Many of you have a deep perception, but you don't know it because there's no one to share it with. No one connects with your own deep perception of things. In other words, by a deep perception, it's like you can look at people and you can feel the underlying agendas, motivations, and you're not really interested in anyone noticing that. And so it becomes kind of a silent mongering then I would try to put my deep perceptions in lyrics. But I didn't know there were deep perceptions. I just would write them. And then suddenly, I'd be playing them for the people around me. And I couldn't sing. I sounded terrible. But the people around me were saying, wow, I go through that. I understand that. And so I kept doing it. And then I met Jillian, and she really went overboard in kind of connecting with that part of me. And we started a rock and roll band. And then the rock and roll band broke up. And Jillian and I started traveling around the country in a Volkswagen bus, going from city to city, playing in bars, playing whoever would have us, living rooms. And we probably did it for 3 years. And it was like amazing. It was amazing we could do it because we did it with almost no money, and we just had to make money to get to the next place, and somehow we did it, and we did it successfully, and it didn't feel like we were freeloaders because people really enjoyed so much our presence and our contribution. But we could only stay so long, and we'd wear out our welcome, and we'd go somewhere else. And we had some of the most amazing, amazing times. One of the reasons it worked so well is because it was at the time that hippies were just emerging, and people were reading about hippies, and Jillian and I were like the quintessential hippies. I had long, long hair, and she was 5'2" from New Zealand with frizzy hair, and she was an artist. And wherever we would go, people would say, look, there's some of those hippies. Let's see what they're really like. We would end up playing music for them. And then eventually, I felt like there was something I needed to learn on my own without Jillian. And so we were back in Berkeley, and I started a hitchhiking trip. And I had never hitchhiked before. And it was a little scary. And I remember thinking, if there's a God, then he better show himself, or else I'm going to die on this trip. And it was my first experience of synchronicity after synchronicity after synchronicity. And I really felt like I was not in this world, and that things were, as being led or guided. Or now I would look at it now and say that I've learned that there's this invisible part of myself, which some people call your high self, which you all have, by the way. We all have high selves that we can access. But from my experience, it's kind of an indirect connection, because when you access it, it's something you have to learn how to do, because it's not visible, it's not in your head. It's like a working relationship with a part of you that you can't see. A working relationship, and that all of us are in those same dimensions, and that's why when we do these calls, we can commiserate with each other and feel each other, even though we're all over the world. And then, of course, we add to the mix the Elohim group and the Ra group commiserating with us, and being on the call and paying attention to us. And the bottom line is there's an incredible sense of love, loving energy present on these calls. And that we share it. It's kind of intimate, even though I don't know you. I know a lot of you now, but many of you I don't know, and I haven't talked to you, and you haven't said hello at the beginning of the call, and so, but you're still there, and I get emails from you, those of you that I don't hear from, and you tell me how you felt the energy on the call, and how you felt connected, and how something in your life changed because you felt that connection. And I know this is really important. It's important for me. It's important for you because it's an opportunity for all of us to keep our hearts open and learn how to keep your heart open, even when, you know, when you normally think in the past that somebody told me the idea of keeping your heart open, I would think that that meant that I had to be a very nice person. And I had to do things and talk to people and be friendly. And of course, that can be keeping your heart open. But in a higher sense, the heart is an energy that radiates around you, that radiates into other realms. And you don't really have to have a physical interchange to keep your heart open. And that when you start opening your other energies and learn to work with them, then you become your own miracle machine because things start coming to you. Things start happening for you. And thoughts suddenly attract things. And of course, if you're in the positive, you're operating for the highest good of all concern, you're honoring free will, and you are now changing this planet in your own little way. And it may not be so little. I say little, but it's not little, because when you start operating like that, it reverberates through the universe. It reverberates through the energy fields of our planet. And it starts to have an impact that may not be so obvious, but if you do it and hold it, sooner or later, you'll get it. You'll get that it works. So I was gonna share with you that the last time I was on George Norrie, I got an email from someone by the name of Billy, who was in Los Angeles. And in the email, he said, you know, I'm in Los Angeles, and I'm talented, and I want to be an artist, and I can't make ends meet. And could you ask your sources what I should do, how I should make this work? And so I sent him an email back, and I said, you know, geez, I've been there and done that. One of the things I found was when I came to Los Angeles, it's like I knew my songwriting had come to a professional quality. My technique, my melodies, my words had gotten really good. But I never did it to make money. I did it just to get from one city to the next, and share with people. And it was kind of pure. And when I came to Los Angeles, I started to think, now I can make a career out of this, because there was, you know, there's part of somebody when they're growing up has an idea of what they should do, what they should become, like, we think we're supposed to get married and have children and have a career. Well, when I was traveling around the country playing all this music and having all these miracles, my father just about disowned me. In fact, he did for a while because I was, from his point of view, I was this very smart young guy who is throwing his life away, traveling around the country hitchhiking, and so I needed to have a career. Part of it was, hey, that's what I'm supposed to do. But of course, with music, if you can do it correctly, you can get your music into the mainstream and influence lots of people. And then when I met Daphne, and I had gotten off the music track for a while, and I met Daphne, and I thought this was going to, the real original connection between us was because we both played music. And I said, well, maybe this will inspire me to start playing music again. And then, of course, shortly, a few weeks into it, I'm having conversations with the Elohim, and she was freaking out. And it was not easy for her. It was a great sacrifice on her part to do what she did. But I don't even think she knew she was making a sacrifice. But it was, because for her to move, she had to move through a lot of levels of herself that she wasn't familiar with. And she ended up, this is my take on it, okay, there may be other takes, like her take, but my take is that it attracted a lot of attention from the negative. And on some level, they didn't want this to happen. They did not want this to be out in the world, because what we call the negative in other dimensions has a vested interest in keeping people contracted and trapped and their DNA not evolving. And this work has the potential, and some of you know this, it's happened for you, to free you. And so we try playing music, and in fact, we went to a little bar in Pomona, and Terry came and was in the audience. And I played some of my songs, and Daphne played her harp, but we never did it a second time. Do you remember that, Terry?
I certainly do. In fact, Daphne made quite an impression with her harp. Somebody came up to me and said they wanted her to play at a party for $200, and could I let her know?
Right. Well, for whatever reason, I don't think we had channeled at that time, have we? Do you recall?
Yeah, we did.
We did. Okay.
Yes.
But in any case, so...
Oh, you and I didn't, but you and Daphne did.
Yeah. And so after my last appearance on George Norrie, this guy Billy Dean sent me that email, and then I sent him an email, and I said, well, here's one of my songs. I was just sharing a song with him. And then he sent an email back, and... he loved my song, and then he sent me a YouTube with one of his songs, and I went to it, and it was awesome performance. The guy is a world-class singer. Not only that, he had a million hits on YouTube on his song, and I think he is going to become a world-class person in music. I think so. He's very charming. He's balanced. He's British. He's charismatic. He looks a little like a Paul McCartney-ish type person. He has a great voice. So when we came to L.A., I said, why don't we try me teaching you some of my songs and do some demos? And there was a cello that I had made demos with 30 years ago who I contacted, and he was still doing it. And the guy is amazing because he plays all the instruments. And we actually, in about 6 or 7 hours, we came up, we've done about 3 songs so far. And I thought I would play one tonight. And I'll bet you, let me see if I hope it's on here. I uploaded it. There it is. So this is Billy singing. And I would try to write songs that would be somewhat educational, but not overtly. Like, the education would be in the content of the song. And I wrote a song about a woman who was kind of forlorn, that nobody was loving or paying attention to, and everyone would pass her by. And then she got into a relationship, and now everybody was paying attention to her. Some of you may have had that experience, that if you're in the market of meeting people and finding a relationship, as soon as you have one, everyone is attracted to you. And so the theme of the song is everybody loves you when everybody loves you, but nobody does when nobody does. And I think that idea goes much further than relationships. It goes into success. It's kind of like when you're first trying to be successful, nobody pays attention to you, even when you're talented. There is the rare person that will identify talent even when nobody else is, but most people don't. And certainly with our material, we spent quite a few years hitting our heads against walls saying, how do we put this out in the world? And it felt like it never had any traction. It was like, even on our conference calls, every call was like the first call, and we had to build the energy from scratch. And we have come to the place where, because of you guys, that's not true anymore. When we come to the calls, we hit the ground running, unless we're really tired. Sometimes it is. And then sometimes we get energy from you just to get started, to get rolling. So here is the song we did with Billy last week called Everybody Loves You When Everybody Loves You. And hang on a second.
Everybody loves you when everybody loves you. Everybody wants you when everybody wants you. Everybody needs you when everybody needs you. But nobody does when nobody does. See the girl, she's all alone. She wants somebody to take her home. But all the boys just pass her by. They see the loneliness in her eyes. Cause everybody loves you when everybody loves you. Everybody wants you when everybody wants you. Everybody needs you when everybody needs you. But nobody does when nobody does. Girl, she's with her man, walking down the street, they're walking hand in hand, and all the boys just turn their eyes, you can hear them sigh when she passes by, cause everybody loves you when everybody loves you, everybody wants you when everybody wants you. Everybody needs you when everybody
mind, but not actually in it yet,
suddenly when people hear it, they say, yeah, I was thinking that. And then it starts to change their reality system. You know, in the best case scenario, there's a lot of songs and music that does just the opposite because, you know, the negative understands the power of art. They understand it and they use art as a way of manipulating the masses big time. And some of you have done the research and have seen it, but some of the major artists that are out there today have all kinds of negative symbols in their music videos, and they're degraded. And I mean, we can pick on Miley Cyrus as a really good example of that. And you know, I don't think it's an accident that she came from being fresh-faced and charming and charismatic in Walt Disney, and then ends up becoming totally decadent in her music. Because what are they doing is they're carrying a whole group of young people, a whole generation, that's the word, a whole generation, and corrupting them. Because they have all these young girls, probably young guys, you know, that are seeing this person as being innocent, and suddenly they're no longer innocent, and they degrade sex and turn sex into a far less than what's sacred interaction between people. So this will be an interesting topic. We've never explored it, and we'll see what comes up. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light, surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra On. It is the 3rd of March, 2014. And we take a look at what you have put forth. We see that artists are the leaders of what society holds as the flame of what to move towards, as the ideal, as the projection to move into. So the artists are the leaders of future society. They set the goal that the individuals who look at the art then can move into. artists, as you have commented, in today's world, in some ways, are letting society down because they are leading society into, in some cases, a dementia of future that does not support a healthy future for individuals, but supports the purposes of the money-minded, the ones that are degrading society, are breaking up the idea of family, and are leading individuals into a society which does not have strong family ties. When you look at art and its role in the putting a future there for a society, there is a strong need for songs, for artwork, for performances, for movies that can provide a healthy ideal for those who are growing up and are looking for the future and to build a healthy future for them and their loved ones. In doing so, in putting forth such artwork and music and ballet, it provides a standard for a new standard, and which in a way is a rehabilitation of an old standard that can provide a light for the progress of the young people and of society as a whole, and to put it forth without attacking the old, but simply to make a new parallel track that can build and grow and become healthier and a healthy guide to the future. So we see that this is a very good track to follow, to put forth your works, and you will see that society, that you are looking for a healthy way forward, and this will fuel the work, the money for farther work and farther expansion of a new reality. That is our comment. Are you muted, Wynn?
I'm here. When so many of the business structures around art are corrupted, you know, based on money and control, what's the best way to get art that's above that system into the system?
As you are finding out, to use the parts of the system that are available to you to put the work out before others so they have a chance to participate, and it will find its own growth.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we ask you to help us. With,
yes, we are behind you.
Synchronicities and keep,
for the highest good.
Yes, keeping the energies up. So that's wonderful. Thank you so much for coming forth. Maybe another question is, if we have people that are listening now, that are closet artists, that have things they're creating that they don't know, have any idea how to get out into the world, maybe there's a comment to make for those people.
Yes. As you get more and more stable and more grounded, you can have a division that can look at those works and see which ones are in alignment. And in the meantime, individuals can put together their own art and start with their own friends and their own source, their own from themselves, and they can source works which will help make society stronger.
Thank you. You know, I want to, those of you that opened up the email, we started something new last week with Todd and Carolyn coming to the plate and doing a weekly digest where we have reviews of our calls during the week. Plus, it's kind of going to be an open-ended magazine. So we're putting share things in there. Things that people want to share. It could be maybe you have a YouTube that really inspired you and you can send it in. Or maybe you have a song and you can send it in. Don't send it to me. Send it to the share format. I think it's share.intelligent-infinity.com. share.intelligent-infinity.com. And that sometime we'll do a Monday night show just with people that have things to share. And, you know, we're not really that big. We're still really small. You know, there's probably an order of hundreds of people that are listening to our shows. And, you know, that could grow into thousands and ten thousands of people. And, who knows, maybe George Norrie might play one of my songs as his bumper music. I have to play some for him. You know, in answering my own question of how do you get through the system, and I have been learning that, and this is a really, really big key for me, and it might be for some of you, is that the system is made up of humans. And humans are all different kinds, all different dispensations. And if you touch the human, even if they're in a system which would tend to be negative, if you can touch an individual, touch them in a real way, not in a way that's greedy, where they think they're going to make a lot of money from you, but just touch them by your art, by your work, then you are now moving through the system. You know, the reason I got on George Norrie is because I made a phone call and ended up talking to the producer for 2 hours. And I didn't really expect that. It was a surprise. And she was really touched by my work and the way I spoke. And she said, "Hey, would you like to be on tonight?" And of course, I said, "Yes." It was unexpected. I said, "I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared. I can't handle it." But I couldn't possibly say no. I had to say yes. And so that led to another appearance a month later. And so this is the way things work. You can't look at all the doors that are closed. You keep looking for an individual in the system that responds to you. And of course, you need to have something authentic and respondable to. And I'm really excited about playing some of the songs that Billy and I have put together. You know, we have this potential movie project, and it's a movie project with Barry Morrow, who wrote The Rain Man. He and I, some of you may know somebody, so I'll mention this. He met me early on in this whole journey, and he said, "Oh my God, Quinn, your story makes a great movie." And we met for a few years over lunch working out a movie story, which is a musical. And the thing about it is that I would be the person that would have to figure out how to make it happen. Even though I could use his name, and he won Academy Award, it's a good door opener, I would have to make it happen. I'd have to find the people. And so, potentially, Billy, who was singing my songs because it's a musical, might be the right person. You know what? I don't usually talk about these things with our group, because I have this thing about holding energy. But you know what? It's like things have shifted. You guys are like family. You're part of the energy holders, the visualizers with us. We're all on, most of us are moving on the same page at this point. We, you know, this is like a world, and if we're going to contribute to it, some of you have figured this out. We are the ones making the contributions, and you never know which one of you might be in a position to just say, "Win, call this person, talk to that person," and something really big happens. You know what? It's 7:51. I thought I would close with another song that I wrote. This is me singing. And this was a song that was really hard for me to play unless I was just in the right vibe, because I always felt I couldn't live up to it. And I remember when I wrote it, and I wrote it when I was hitchhiking around the country and ending up in people's living rooms and sleeping on their couches. And I was doing their astrology charts and playing music, and it was like really magical. And I would be somewhere for a day, and then I'd move on, and I would impact people. And I had this song that described how I felt about doing that. It was called "The Reason Is to Love You." Well, let me play it here. Let's see.
I am a spirit traveler. I come from nowhere. I live here. I walked many lonely roads. I've been everywhere that you fear. Been everybody's father. I've been everybody's son. I watched one man finish what another's just begun. Would you believe me? If I told you that the reason I am here is the love you in the desert. I almost died of thirst. I stood behind every man who was trying to be first. I've had a million faces. Yes, I've had a million names. But my reflection has always been the same. Would you believe me? If I told you that the reason I am here is the love you. So little time just for this moment. I'll be yours and you'll be mine, but then I have to disappear into the winds of fate. I carry you inside my heart. You've opened the gate. Would you believe me? If I told you that the reason I am here is to love you. Yes, the reason I am here is to love you.
All right. Well, thank you all for letting me share that. And I hope
Lucy
I hope Lucy is right.
I told you, everybody. I tell you, everybody, it's the best thing ever.